Welcome to the Banner of Truth. The following program of inspiration is brought to you by the Free Reformed Church, with locations in Monarch, Lacombe, and Calgary. And now, the Banner of Truth, with Pastor Jack Schumann.
Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. We read the verses 1 through 14. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day, in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The text for our sermon this morning is verses 10 and 11 of Luke chapter 2. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Dear friends, one of the most joyous events in the life of a married couple is the birth of a new baby. No sooner is the baby born than the parents want to announce it to the whole world. Dad rushes to a phone to call his parents and his wife's parents. Then he calls the brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles on both sides of the family, as well as some close friends. A few days after the baby is born, the parents place an announcement in the local newspaper. Some parents sent out formal birth announcements as well. Well, this morning I would like to draw your attention to the most famous birth announcement in history. It is the birth announcement of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In many ways, his birth announcement is very similar to our own. It contains the baby's name. He is the Savior, Christ, the Lord, as well as the place and time of birth. The angel says he is born this day in this city of David. But it differs from our birth announcements in several respects. First of all, the announcement was first made not to friends and relatives, but to shepherds, none of whom, as far as we know, were related to the Lord Jesus. Secondly, the announcement came not through the mail or over the telephone, but by the mouth of an angel. And thirdly, this announcement was accompanied by a heavenly chorus of angels saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. With this in mind, I would like to meditate with you on the angel's announcement of the Savior's birth. That is our theme. And we'll consider 3 points. First, the recipients of this announcement. Secondly, the nature of this announcement. And thirdly, the comfort of this announcement. One of the most striking aspects of the angel's announcement of the Savior's birth is the fact that it was first announced to shepherds. This is not what we might have expected. We might have expected the angel to announce the birth of Christ to the high priest in Jerusalem, to the Sanhedrin, to King Herod, or perhaps even to Caesar Augustus, not to poor shepherds. But that is not what happened. God commanded his angel to announce the birth of his son to shepherds. There's something striking about this. During this time, shepherds were some of the most despised members of Jewish society, only one step up from lepers. Now, to be sure, this was not always the case. Centuries before the birth of Christ, shepherding was considered a very honorable occupation. Abraham was a shepherd, so was Isaac and Jacob, and Moses and David. But over the years, shepherds came to be despised. This was because the nature of their work required them to be absent from the temple services for long periods of time. Also, rightly or wrongly, shepherds had a reputation for stealing and lying. In fact, shepherds were not allowed to give testimony in a court of law. And yet, the announcement of the Savior's birth was first made to shepherds. Why? Well, because these shepherds represent the kind of people to whom Jesus had come to save. They represented the poor, the oppressed, the despised, the people who have nothing to commend themselves before God or man. And so, when Jesus began his public ministry in Nazareth, he stood up in the local synagogue and read the words of Isaiah 61, verse 1, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." Well, these are the people to whom Jesus came to save. Not the rich and the powerful and the self-reliant, but poor, miserable, hell-deserving sinners. The Apostle Paul says something similar in 1 Corinthians 1, verses 26 through 29. There he comments on the kind of people whom it pleases the Lord to save. And he writes, "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence." The point is clear. Jesus came to save those who are nothing in themselves, who know that they have nothing to commend themselves before God, whose only hope is to look for salvation outside of themselves in Jesus Christ. My friends, does that describe you this morning? Have your eyes been opened by the Holy Spirit to see something of your lost condition before God? Do you know that you cannot save yourself? That your only hope of salvation lies outside of yourself in Jesus Christ? Are you a poor, miserable, hell-deserving sinner this morning? Oh, if so, then I have good news for you. Christ Jesus came for you. Yes, that is the message which is being communicated here in our text. That is why the angel first announced the birth of Christ to shepherds, so that sinners like you and me may know and believe that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and that by believing in him, we too, no matter who we are or what we have done, may receive the forgiveness of our sins and the gift of everlasting life. Do you believe that? Oh, my friend, then go to him. Confess your sins. Confess your unworthiness. Repent. Look to faith in Christ, and you shall be saved. The announcement of the birth of Christ, therefore, first came to shepherds. They are the recipients of this announcement. Now, what is the nature of this announcement? We look at that under our second point. The announcement of the angel was, in the first place, a reassuring announcement. Notice how the angel begins. "Fear not," he says. This is the third time these words are recorded in Luke's Gospel. The first time was to Zacharias when Gabriel appeared to him in the temple in Jerusalem. The second time was to Mary when Gabriel informed her that she would give birth to the Messiah. The third time is here in our text. Also to the shepherds, the angel says, "Fear not." But why does the angel begin this way? Well, obviously because these shepherds were afraid. That is confirmed in verse 9. There we read that while the shepherds were watching over their flocks by night, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. The shepherds, Luke says, were sore afraid. Literally, the original says they feared with a great fear. It was a fear that gripped them to the core of their being. They were so afraid they could not so much as move. Why were they so afraid? Well, obviously, part of their fear was a result of the sudden appearance of the angel. The text says the angel came upon them. The verb here suggests that the angel appeared suddenly, so suddenly that the shepherds seemed to have been taken by complete surprise. But the text suggests another, and I think more important reason. What caused these shepherds to fear was not so much the sudden appearance of the angel as the glory of the Lord that emanated from him. Notice what our text says. Luke tells us that when the angel appeared, the glory of the Lord shone round about them. The shepherds were literally bathed in the glory of the Lord that emanated from this angel. They came into direct contact with the glory of God Himself. As a result, they were sore afraid. There are many examples of this kind of fear in the Scriptures. Perhaps the best is found in Isaiah chapter 6. In this chapter, Isaiah records a vision of the Lord sitting on a throne. Flying around the throne were seraphim. Each one had six wings. And they cried one to another, saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." Suddenly, Isaiah says, the doorposts of the temple began to shake, and the house filled with smoke. And seeing all of this, Isaiah cried out, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." My friends, this is the reaction of sinful man when he comes face to face with divine holiness. He humbles himself and literally quakes with fear. Well, this is also what these shepherds experienced in our text. Although these shepherds did not actually see God like Isaiah did, nevertheless, they did come into direct contact with God's glory. And as a result, they quaked with fear. How sad that these shepherds should react this way. For there was a time in paradise before the fall when man basked in the glory of God. In Genesis we read that God walked with Adam in the cool of the day. Man and God enjoyed perfect fellowship and communion with each other. But as soon as Adam disobeyed God, the Bible says he hid himself in the trees. Why did Adam hide himself? Because our text says his eyes were opened. He saw that he was naked, and he was ashamed. From the moment Adam partook of the forbidden fruit, he realized he could no longer stand in the presence of a holy and a righteous God. And that is still true today, my friends. Whenever sinful men come into contact with divine holiness, they shrink back in fear. Why do they do that? Because the glory of God exposes us for who we are, like a giant spotlight on a tiny ant. Everything we are, everything we say, everything we do or think is fully exposed to His holy eyes. And as a result, we shrink back in fear. And that's what's happening here. As soon as these shepherds came into direct contact with the glory of the Lord, they literally quaked with fear. But notice what happens. Rather than speak a word of judgment, which they rightly deserve to hear, the angel speaks a word of reassurance. "Fear not," he says. "Do not be afraid. I have come not to judge you or to punish you, but to comfort you. The news that I have to bring you is not bad news, it is good news." Oh, what a wonder, my friends, that God should come to sinful men, men who have rebelled against Him and have turned their backs on Him, that God should come to men with a message of comfort and reassurance. Oh, we learn here something very important about God. We learn that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to faith and repentance in Christ. Yes, my friends, God would have been perfectly just if He had sent His angel to destroy these shepherds and every single person in the entire world. But He does not do so. Instead, He comes to them with a message of hope, a message of reassurance, a message of comfort. "Fear not," the angel says. "Fear not." Well, my friends, God comes to us with that same message also today. It's every time the gospel is proclaimed, God comes to us, as it were, and he says, "Fear not. I do not come to punish you, but to restore you. I do not come to take away life, but to give it. That is why I sent my only begotten Son into the world, so that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Oh, do you hear that message, my friends? And have you responded to it in faith? Oh, if ever we have proof of the willingness of God to save sinners, surely it is in these first two words of our text, "Fear not." Therefore, if you are not a believer this morning, I may say to you, do not fear. Go to the Lord, confess your sins, ask for his forgiveness, and you will be saved. For the Lord says to you also, "Fear not." The announcement of the angel, therefore, was a reassuring announcement, but it was also a joyful announcement. Listen again to our text. After telling the shepherds not to fear, the angel says, gives the reason why. He says, "For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." The Greek verb here is a derivative of the word euangelion, from which we get the word evangel or gospel. Literally, the text reads, "I evangelize to you a great joy." We learn here that the announcement which the angel was about to make was not a sad announcement, but rather a joyful announcement. It was not an announcement of punishment or of judgment, but of blessing. And what was this announcement? Well, the answer comes in the next verse, verse 11. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." The good tidings of great joy is the fact that Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem. Now, why is this such good news? Well, it's good news, my friends, because Jesus was no ordinary child. He was the long-awaited Messiah, the Savior, Christ the Lord. He was the one whom God had promised to Adam and Eve, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. He was the one who would crush the head of the serpent, who would make atonement for the sins of his people, who would effect peace and reconciliation between God and man. For thousands of years the world had been awaiting his arrival, and now at long last he had come. He had come. He came for sinners like you and me. And that, my friend, is good news indeed. Indeed, in fact, that is the best news in the entire world. Well, let me ask you this morning, is this good news for you as well? Oh, this is only good news to those who whose eyes have been opened to see something of their sin and their need of a Savior. For the news that Christ is born means that the penalty for our sins can be paid and we can receive the gift of everlasting life. And there is no greater news than that. Yes, the announcement was a joyful announcement, but it was also a universal announcement. Again, notice what the angel says here. He says that the good tidings of great joy that he had been sent to proclaim would be to all people. Well, who's being referred to here? Well, in the first place, the reference is to the Jews, of course. After all, it was to them that the promise of the Messiah was first made. And that is clear from the text itself. Although it is not translated in the Authorized Version, the original Greek includes a definite article at this point. So literally, the Greek reads, "to all the people." The article denotes a specific group of people, namely the Jews, God's covenant people, to whom the Messiah had been promised centuries before. This was good news, especially to them. But in a broader sense, the angel's tidings of great joy are announced to the Gentiles as well. This was foretold by the Old Testament prophets on many occasions. For example, in Matthew 12, verse 21, quoting Isaiah 42, verses 1 through 4, we read, "And in his name shall the Gentiles trust." Also in Isaiah 45, verse 22, God says, "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else." The benefits of the Messiah's work was never intended to be enjoyed by the Jews only, but by all who would believe in him, both Jew and Gentile. What does all this mean practically? Well, it means, my friends, that the message of Christmas is for everyone. The joy contained in the angel's announcement is a joy that is freely offered to every person in the entire world indiscriminately. It's offered to Jews and Gentiles. It is offered to men and women. It is offered to old people and young people, rich and poor, strong and weak, black people, white people, Africans, Americans, Canadians, Europeans, Chinese, everyone. And that includes every person listening to my voice this morning. To you also the Lord comes and invites you to become a partaker of the joy that there is in being a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord invites you, and that invitation is sincere and well meant. And therefore I may say to you, come to Him. The joy that there is in Christ is offered also to you this morning. Receive it then with the empty hands of faith, and become this very day a partaker of Christ and all His benefits. The announcement of the angel, therefore, was a reassuring announcement, a joyful announcement, and a universal announcement. But it was also an announcement that brought great comfort. And we turn to that under our third and final point. The announcement of the angel is one of great comfort for the child of God. Listen again to the words of our text. After describing the nature of the announcement which he was sent to proclaim, the angel proclaims the announcement itself. He says, verse 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Oh, these are comforting words indeed. To these poor, humble shepherds and people like them was born a Savior. A Savior? From what? Well, from sin, of course. You may recall when the angel appeared to Joseph in a dream, he told him to name Mary's baby Jesus. Why? Because he would save his people from their sins. That's what Jesus means. And how would he do this? Well, he would do it through his active and passive obedience. By living a perfect life in obedience to all the commandments of God, Christ earned for us the righteousness that we need in order to enter into heaven and stand before God. Also, by suffering and dying on the cross, Christ paid the penalty for our sins and propitiated the wrath of the Father. And when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, when we look to Him as the only hope and ground of our salvation, then all the benefits of Christ become ours. We receive the forgiveness of sins and the gift of everlasting life. Yes, my friends, the baby that was born in Bethlehem was a Savior. And not just any Savior, but a Savior which is Christ the Lord. What do these names mean? Well, the name Christ is the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew word Messiah, which means anointed one. Christ was the anointed one. And what was he anointed as? Well, he was anointed as a prophet, as a priest, and as a king. As a prophet, he came fully to declare to us the secret counsel and will of God concerning our salvation. As a priest, he came to redeem us and to make intercession for us. As a king, he came to govern us by his word and spirit, and to defend and preserve us in the enjoyment of that salvation that he has purchased for us. But he was also the Lord. The name Lord is an Old Testament name for God. The fact that the angel calls this baby Lord means that he himself was God. Jesus was not, as many sects teach, a created being, a superhuman, or an angel. No, he was and is God, the second person of the Holy Trinity. But the name Lord also means owner. By means of this name, the angel reminds us that Christ is the owner of his people. And on what basis does he own them? Well, on the basis of the fact that he redeemed them with his precious blood. Yes, Christ has redeemed and delivered his people, and as a result, they are his property. They belong to him. And he is their Lord. Now I ask you, is that not great comfort? Well, my friends, what could be more comforting than to know that unto us is born this day a Savior, and not just any Savior, but one who is Christ the Lord? Oh, there is no greater comfort in the entire world. Christ is everything that we need. We need not look anywhere else. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. My friends, are you saved by him this morning? Perhaps you say, how can I be saved? Let me tell you. you must repent of your sins and look to Christ as your only hope and ground of salvation. That's the only way. Religion cannot save you. Good works cannot save you. Only simple childlike faith in Christ can save you. And therefore I urge you again, go to Him. He is willing to save sinners. That is why He came to this earth. That is why He was born as a little baby in the manger of Bethlehem, so that sinners like you and me can be saved. Oh, go to Him. Believe on His name, and you shall be saved. Amen. Dear friends, this radio broadcast is not meant as a substitute for worshiping in a faithful, Bible-believing church. If you are not currently worshiping in such a church, you are welcome to join us for our services in Monarch, Calgary, and Lacombe. It is a great encouragement to us when we hear from our listeners. If you've been blessed by the message you have heard this morning, or if you would like a free CD of the message, please write to The Banner of Truth, Post Office Box 220, Fort McLeod, Alberta, T0L0Z0. Or you can call me at area code 403-553-3400. That's 553-3400. For your information, these messages are now being posted on the Internet. Enter www.sermonaudio.com in your search engine and search on The Banner of Truth. If you are in the Calgary area, our church is located right across from the Blackfoot Inn on the corner of Blackfoot Trail and Glenmore Trail. For directions to the church, please call the church office at 403-254-6591. That's 254-6591. If you would like more information about our churches, please log on to our denominational website at www.frcna.org. And now, until next week, may the Lord be with you all.
Thank you for listening to The Banner of Truth. For more information about The Banner of Truth and the Free Reformed Churches, visit our website at frcna.org. Services are held every Sunday in Calgary at 9:30 and 2:30, in Lacombe at 10 o'clock and 3 o'clock, and in Monarch at 10 o'clock and 7 o'clock. Pastor Jack Schumann can be reached at 403-553-3400. Join us again next week at the same time for The Banner of Truth.